Blog Talk Radio.
Bonnie Albers on air, and we have our own house famous world renowned astrologist, Dr. Ron Cole. We don't call him doctor often, but he does have a doctorate in astrology. Hi, Ron.
Hello there, Bonnie. Hey, you know, everyone who's listening, it is 66 here, and there's still been some remnants of fog. And it's cloudy, obviously, and foggy, so in some areas foggy. So that's why it's kind of chilly here in Florida for us.
I know. Well, listen, it is chilly in other regions of my life, so not so much. I don't want you to think in love, but this in actually the blog talk land. So, Ron, I'm just going to make a few announcements before we get to you. But, everyone, I thank you so much yesterday for making Adam feel so welcome. I love when I can bring you guests from all over and from different modalities and specialties. So you see what everybody, because, you know, I believe everybody has a gift. Everybody's intuitive. They might not call it what we do or work on it, but I love when I can give you, showcase, and find the greatest peeps that want to come on the show. So Adam had a great time, and I so appreciate you all being, you know, so gracious to him. Now, today, we were supposed to have my guy, Ron, which is on, and we were going to have Leslie Journey. It was my fault Leslie Journey will not be joining us at 2. I have a meeting that I can't cancel. It's with my son. So we are going to be here for 60 minutes with Ron Cole and me and the sky, moon, and stars. And I just want to tell you, tomorrow will be Annabelle Miller and Brenda Brand. They'll be bringing in all kinds of psychic ability, and they are my mom and daughter duo. And Leslie Journey will be coming in at 2 o'clock. That means that Candy Potter Emery, who is our angel lady who brings us messages from the angels, will be coming the following Thursday. So we're kind of having to switch it up, and I thank everyone for their patience and for allowing me to switch people, because guess what? On Friday, Ron is Coffee with Bonnie, and I won't give that up because that's me, and me. And you know how I am. I will not give up my time with everyone. So if you're really into wanting to talk to me and wanting to get some answers for either your love life or anything in your life, you know I'm a spirit medium. I'm also a nurse, a legal nurse consultant, and a counselor. I do have both practices. So, you know, it's coffee with me on Friday at 9. And then we have guests all next week, Ron. We have some fabulous guests. I have a psychic surgeon coming on Wednesday. I have a tarotist coming on Monday. I am giving up half of my hour. We've got a numerologist coming on Tuesday, all really excellent and renowned in their field. So I'm so excited. Next week's going to be, oh my God, I'm going to pull my hair out. Anyway, hi, Ron.
Hi, Mo Bonnie. I hope everyone that's listening really gets the full spectrum of how many different, unique people are coming, and they will be very, very fascinated in these shows coming up, I'm sure.
I hope so, because you know what, Ron? I do it because I know my audience. I mean, hearing me 5 days a week, I know they could do it, but you know, that gets a little, you know, crazy, I guess. So I try to bring in people who want to be on the show, who have talents to offer everybody, and who will be interactive with my audience. So again, I will go over and it'll be posted who's next week. But Ron, I had the best lunch with you, so I want to thank you for meeting me for lunch. And we are super good friends, everyone. We both live in the same town. And Ron is an astrologist. He teaches astrology. He's one of the greatest, most world-renowned astrologists I know. If you're a urologist, Ron, then you can take over my husband's job. But anyway, I want to thank you for being on the show. And everybody, Ron does readings, but he does astrology readings. They're really your chart. He does your birth chart. He does all kinds of other things. You don't realize how wide astrology can become in your life. Ron has people who call him up when they want to move, when they want to have surgery, and, you know, just to make certain decisions, big decisions that are coming up. He also does, and I'm kind of talking for you, Ron, but you also do progressive charts, but that has to be after your birth chart, guys. And Ron does it all. And the time he gives you, the amount of attention and what you get is incredible. So if you would like a reading with Ron, and this is a business he has, and he has clients from all over the world, please get a hold of him at Living Astro. I'm going to spell it for you, LIVINGASTRO at AOL.com, and let him know that you heard him on the show or that you got, you know, your message from the show and what you want, and he will email you back. Right, Ron? That's the easiest way to get a hold of you, correct?
That's the absolute way to reach me, correct.
I love it. I mean, Ron's been my astrologist for a very long time. I love when I have an issue and I talk to him about it because the sky matters. I love that if, you know, myself, I don't know much about astrology, although I'm learning since you've been on the show. And what I love about it is that the minute you take a breath, everyone, that is the life map of your life. So you can see so many things, can't you, Ron, from that birth chart?
Yes, truly you can, Bonnie. And first I want to apologize to everyone today. I have a little bit of a raspy voice, so if I clear my voice or if I get a little raspy, it'll be fine. It'll just clear up. Yes, your astrological birth chart is your roadmap for your life. It is based on your city of birth, date of birth, and time of birth. And that is very, very important. It shows cycles of timing, the cycles of events. Astrology is the science of timing and the science of cycle. And so it is a very valuable insight to understand what pattern you are working with in this lifetime.
I think that is so cool because one of the things I never knew about, Ron, and maybe one day we went over colors for the signs, and that's something I still, you know, want to repeat that show and what each sign, even the health for each sign. But what I love is the North and South Node, and everybody's North and South Node is in different places, correct?
Yes, correct, based on the time they were born. Like right now, the nodes are in Libra and Aries. And that's your child born now. And it doesn't mean someone else could not have the North Nodes in Libra and South Node in Aries. It just means that that's the timing right at this point. When that occurs, that is the indication of where the eclipses are going to happen. So eclipses will be occurring right near or in the sign of Aries and right near or in the sign of Libra. They hug the North and South Node.
And doesn't the North and South Node tell you, I mean, I know we want to get to the sky and we don't have a whole lot of time today, but isn't the North Node what you are working here for and the South Node is the tools you came in with or what you've done in the past? Or how is that North and South Node related?
You said it very well, Bonnie. The North Node is kind of like our future, our destiny, what we're acquiring, what we're working on, yes. And the South Node is what we've done in past lives, what we've become proficient in, what we don't really need to stay in anymore because we've already been there. It's part of us, but it's part of where we've come from.
Well, I love that because my South Node said I was a princess and that I need to have my princess back. So I wonder if my North Node is me working on getting my princess back. But
I don't even remember what your notes are because you'll have to tell me sometimes because I deal with so many charts, I forget every detail very quickly.
Well, I will tell you, I don't think even realize that, Ron, that through a birth chart, you can see what your past lives have been. That's amazing because, you know, we have this whole thing with past life regression and where you've been and what your lives you've had. And really, if you invest in your birth chart, you can actually get a clue about what you have done in the past. And that, I think, is really important because a lot of people want to know. And then they want to know why they're here. And I think that's really a great thing. I don't think people really understand the North and South Node and what actually they can tell you. It's really important for a lot of people to know where they've been and what they're doing here. I think that's so cool.
Yes, there's a whole branch of astrology called spiritual astrology, and the delineation of past life experiences falls in that branch.
I love that. But let me, I know we have a lot to talk about, and I just told you about, a friend of mine, I was asking him why, you know, certain things happen with the shows this week, like Blog Talk's having a problem with one at my show. They just sent me a note saying that they had to go in and do something. And then Monday, the show turned and clicked off after, 15 minutes. And then a lot of different things have happened. And he said to me, and he's not an astrologist, but he's a very, very renowned psychic medium. He's a hypnotherapist. He just has put out, and Ron, this is what I want you to do, and I didn't even say it in the beginning, but I'm now a columnist for Psychic Insight Magazine, and Jerry Humphries is the CEO of it. Please, it's an online magazine. If you go to www.psychicinsight.com. I'm on the front cover. So,
Wow, that's great.
He already had a few hits on. He's already had hundreds of hits on it. It is a great magazine. I suggest everybody get a hold of the magazine, and you can contact Jerry and put an article in yourself. So, everybody, if you'll please listen and go and, you know, write a comment, or my column is Ask Bonnie, and write me questions. I'll answer them. Anyway, getting back to you, Ron, since, you know, I must have something in my chart, like maybe me in the first house. But I know a lot of things are starting, you know, in the sky. Well, what he said and why I brought Jerry up is he happened to say, and he'll be here on Tuesday the 27th to answer all of your questions, but he said that Mercury retrograde was actually working, not the waning moon, but Mercury retrograde was starting early for me. So I know we wanted to talk about things in the sky that, you know, and that's what my lead-in is. So tell us what's going on, Ron.
Well, there's something very beautiful in the sunset areas of the world if you don't have clouds and can see the western sky. On January 11th, a mere 3 days ago, the planet Venus, which is the third brightest object in the sky, and the planet Mercury were sitting lined up exactly next to each other in the western sky, just in the sunset up here. The sun had already gone down, and the sky was still a bit lit up, and you could see the beautiful Venus and Mercury next to it. Well, we still can see that. Venus will be that extremely bright object in the sky. It's not a UFO. It's probably the most mistaken object for a UFO because it's so bright.
Wow.
And you will see a little star, which isn't a star, but it'll appear like a star, to the right of Venus and a little below it. So it isn't directly next to it, but it's kind of, let's say, south, eastern of Venus, just slightly. Well, that star is Mercury. And so Mercury and Venus are both in Aquarius, sitting in that western sky just after sunset. Now, what's interesting about that is we can see Venus often as a morning star or as an evening star, but Mercury is a dickens to see. It is a hard little object to see in the sky because you have to see it right before Mercury goes retrograde. That means it is the fullest extent above the horizon. And this is one of those incidents. 1 week from today, Mercury will turn retrograde. So right now, and for the last number of days, and for the next number of days, Mercury is as far above the horizon as it will probably get. And that means we can see it with the naked eye. And what is excellent is we've got something else in the sky that's saying, look, I'm Venus, and right next to me is Mercury. So we've got an indicator now to find Mercury by noting that bright object, which is Venus. Venus is so bright, and this might surprise people, that on a moonless night, meaning a night of no moon, there have been recorded incidents of the planet Venus actually casting very faint shadows on the Earth's surface. In other words, very faint shadows of plants, people, things, just from the planet Venus. It is so bright. And like I said, it's the very brightest object in the sky. Well,
how are they working? Yeah, go ahead, because I know you were. I know what you're going to do, and I'm just blah blah. But I know you're going to link the two.
They
right?
do it. They actually just can see the shadow that's being caused from something coming from the sky, and everything has a shadow pointing in one direction, and the object that's causing the shadow to occur. Now, I mean, it's a faint, faint shadow, but it's been recorded that it's from the brightness of Venus, and
wow.
If that's how bright this planet can get. Now, we still have something kind of fascinating coming up. On January 22nd, everyone write this down and remember it, you will see the tiny, tiny crescent moon in the western sky. The sun will set, and this little tiny sliver of a moon will be hanging there in the west, soon itself to set. But right near the moon will be the planet Venus, and not far away will be Mercury. So you will actually see three objects coming up on the 22nd. Now, that's some time ahead yet. That's over a week from now. But as of now and in the next week, you will be able to see Venus and Mercury right next to each other, going slower and slower now because it's preparing to go retrograde. And therefore, it's kind of hugging Venus. They're staying not far apart. And that's why even on the 22nd, the very small crescent moon, the bright planet Venus, and the tiny little pinpoint light of the planet Mercury will all be together. And there, it's just we've got some beautiful things to see in the sky. But this is right after the sun has gone down, and this is when the western sky still has some illumination or light with it. And the reason why I'm mentioning that is Venus, Mercury, and even that little crescent moon on the 22nd will set very shortly into the evening. They won't be up there for a long, long time. You have to catch them once the sun is down and the sky is dimming. And so go out tonight, everybody. Go out tonight. Hopefully you'll have a clear sky. Look to the west where the sun has just set, and you will see a bright object glowing in the sky so brightly. It's Venus. And you'll see a little tiny star next to it. That's Mercury. And those are the two planets that are between the Earth and the Sun, the two intra-planets, as we might refer to them, because they are the inner part of the solar system. And we're actually looking in the direction of the Sun when we are looking at Venus and Mercury, because, like I said, Venus is 67 million miles from the Sun, and Mercury is the Earth is 93 million miles. You know, there is something I want to bring up. Venus is nicknamed the Earth's twin, and that's because it is 95% the size of the Earth. It's almost exactly the Earth's size, just a teeny bit smaller.
Wow.
It's not the twin in all kind of other ways, though. When you look at it through a telescope body, it looks like a beautiful white pearl hanging there in space. And that's completely engulfed in clouds, but they're not the puffy, nice clouds that we have with water vapor in it. The clouds surrounding Venus have battery acid or sulfuric acid particles in the clouds. And not only that, the clouds are miles and miles and miles and miles thick. So if a spacecraft had to descend to the surface of Venus, they had to go through these caustic battery acid, sulfuric acid clouds, and there's cloud-to-cloud lightning constantly going on in the atmosphere of Venus. And if you finally break through the clouds and begin to descend towards the surface, you enter the highest temperature of anything in the solar system other than the sun. It is 900 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface of the planet Venus. It's like a greenhouse effect going wild.
Rod? At least you wouldn't have to have, I guess New York would say, you wouldn't have to have snow boots and big snow hats, no, would you?
No, not only that, it's so hot that lead would melt instantly and turn to liquid. It is so incredibly hot. And because these clouds have been there for eons of time, they have trapped the sun's heat, and the sun's heat never goes away. Venus also does some weird stuff, Bonnie. It turns the other direction than the Earth. It rotates in the other direction. So the sun would rise in the west and set in the east. But I believe, and folks, if I'm wrong with this next comment, I might not have the exact figure, but Venus turns so slowly that one night is 37 Earth days, and one day is 37 Earth days. So imagine having that light constantly there for 37 days. And if you happen to get to the surface of Venus, it won't be the light like we know it, everybody. You will be seeing orange color, orange light everywhere, because when the sun's light filters through those sulfuric acid clouds, orange gets through. And so we know that Venus has mountain ranges and valleys and things. Very interesting. It has a terrain that would be kind of close to the Earth in the mountain ranges and valleys and that. But everything would be in an orange glow. It would be looking very, very strange. And even when you're on the dark side of Venus, 37 days without sunlight, you'll still be at 900 degrees Fahrenheit because the planet never cools down.
Well, you know
and
what,
you know,
Ron?
I bring all of this up because Venus rules love. And you know
I
how
know.
Love heats up the soul, heats up the energy between two people. And some scientists comment saying, well, Venus is supposed to be such a wonderful planet. It's actually more like hell than it is like anything else, because it's 900 degrees Fahrenheit. And I say, well, sometimes love can hurt, and sometimes love can be painful. But in the long run, though, when you look at the energy that Venus gives off as a body, as an independent body, it's the connection with love, relationships, dating, romance, physical good looks, physical beauty for women, physical handsomeness with men, art, color, artistic tendencies and interests, the ability to make balanced and fair decisions. It's a very loving, connected planet. It is connected to all levels of what we call love, love in many forms, brotherly love, personal love, sexual love. So it's very much connected with the energy of love, even though it is a very, very hostile environment on its physical surface. Now, again, we can't go to a planet and look at its physical conditions and say, well, that's how that planet works. You have to look at the energy of that planet in a person's birth chart. And that's why scientists have another head scratch when it comes to astrology. They bring up all these points that I've just said about this 900-degree temperature and everything, and then they say, how could you even say that there's an element of relationships and love connected to it? But they're not understanding that astrology is working with the energy, the vibrationary energy, and the sentient connected energy to each of the planetary bodies.
Well, Ron, one thing I wanted to ask real quick is, if they're, you know, everything means something, so if they're right next to each other in the sky, what is that determining? Or I hear aspects, squares, what are they, if they're both there together, what are they saying to us?
Well, that's called a conjunction. That means two planets are sitting right next to each other or near each other usually in the same sign of the zodiac. Sometimes one is at the ending of a sign, the other is at the beginning of a sign. But these are in the same sign. Right now, as we look at where everything is aligned, Venus and Mercury are in the sign of Aquarius. And sure enough, on the 11th, we're at the same degree of the zodiac of the sign of Aquarius. Right now, today, Venus is at 12 degrees and Mercury's at 13, almost the other way around. Mercury is at 12 degrees and Venus is at 13, almost 14 degrees. That's why they won't be exactly side by side, but they'll be like right next to each other, but Mercury will be slightly lower on the right side of Venus. And that conjunction means those two planets have aligned. Now, if a person has that in their birth chart, it would indicate a very mellifluous sounding voice, a very beautiful, haunting, romantic on one level, wonderful for being an announcer on another level, a very, very magnanimous and magnetic voice. It would also indicate the type of mind in that person who sees beauty or who sees the ability to restore balance and harmony in the world, in nature, in people's lives. So these are just a few conceptualizations that alignment would indicate. Now, it doesn't have to be in Aquarius. It could be in any sign of the zodiac.
Wow.
This is really what that connection really means. So a child born now or in recent days or a number of days in the future will have that in their chart.
Well, how about how does it mean, you know, like now? Does it, you know, like if we all are seeing it, how does it affect, like we know that Mercury retrograde means that there's communications, you know, that's the big thing, communications go haywire. But does, you know, I'm looking at Mercury and Venus as maybe it's saying that if you're in love, because isn't Mercury the planet of speed, maybe it's going to take off.
Well,
you know, maybe it'll be quick.
To that, the official Mercury retrograde doesn't start till 1 week from today, next Wednesday. But Mercury is moving slower now than it normally would because it's getting close to turning retrograde. But Venus and Mercury, this is a very good time to talk to your partner, to talk things out, to get to the point to say, look, we need to clear the air, we need to discuss, we need to share some things. We need to get some things communicated here. That would be a very powerful and connected thing to do when Mercury and Venus are sitting next to each other, because Venus would represent the unit of marriage and the partner that you have, and Mercury would represent the communication ability or prowess. So
wow.
That is a very good time. It's also good to make and connect with a new partner, sit down with someone that you've just met and just talk back and forth, get to know each other, share, communicate. It's also good for business partners. If somebody has a business partner, it's the same thing. This is a very good time to have discussions with that partner, to share back and forth and exchange ideas, see what that partner has as concepts to share. And so wherever we have dialogue, Mercury, and wherever we have unions, partnerships, Venus, they're in a connection time right now.
Well, I think that's, you know me, I love Venus and I like Mercury if he's in full speed. Not sure I love the retrograde thing, but you know, I can't, you know, and we won't talk about the retrograde till next week because that's when he is in retrograde. But, you know, my point is this, we all have to continue living. We all have to sign documents. We all have to buy things. So it's really interesting, you know, to say that you won't is, you know, I try to ask and find out because I, you know, I don't, or fly or things like that. But if you have to, isn't it, you said to save your receipts or make sure you, you know, read the dotted line, correct? Because not everybody can, you know, work with their retrograde and say they can't do something.
Well, the retrogrades are going to occur universally for everyone in the world. That's something that I explain to people. They'll say, oh, the Mercury is doing this and that in my life. And I'll say, well, that's your reaction to the retrograde. But you have to remember, a retrograde in space, in the sky, which is going to happen a week from today, is for everybody in the whole world. And each person will be having different cycles and timings in their personal birth chart at the time of that retrograde. But some people will have just slide right through, not even know that there's a retrograde of Mercury going on. Others will really have an enhanced, challenging time based on what's going on in the birth chart. And the birth chart patterns will supersede whatever's going on in the sky, because that's something that's happening in the person's own individual life pattern. We all have Mercury retrograde 3 times a year, 3 weeks each time. And depending on how what's happening in your birth chart at that time will describe how you will react to that period.
Well, isn't it like your birth chart is, and I want to say this, isn't it like a fingerprint? There isn't two alike, but maybe there is two alike because everybody could be born at 1 minute past 12 on a certain day.
Well, if there are two people born exactly at the same moment of time in the same location on the same date, then that really means that those souls are sharing the same life cycle, the same life series of learning events, the same life timings. They basically have come in. That doesn't mean they're twin souls. That doesn't mean they're soulmates. It means that basically they're coming in to work on the same identical thing in the same way, in the same pattern of timing. So a lot of people make fun out of the fact that there could be two people born at the moment, same moment of time, and they think everything should be completely, they should look alike, they should have complete difference, no differences between them. And I explain, well, they do have different DNAs. They do, if they're from different parents, they do have different DNA contributors to them. but they are basically working on the same pattern of timings and energy. That's what it really means. And so it isn't this big laughing thing to throw off astrology if two people are born in the same location, date, and time. Because I've had scientists and other people who try to be highbrows fun out of that, saying, well, it can't work. Two born at the same time, they should look alike and be totally identical. And the DNA contributing factors will change that right away. They can't be identical because they're different DNAs. But they are working on the same exact timings of events, when and how.
That is so interesting, Ron, because I, you know, that's something I would have deducted too. I wouldn't have gone to the fact that they have to look alike, but I do know there are probably people that do. What you know, what's interesting too about what's going on, and I want to just hit it real quickly, is, or if you have anything, first of all, Saturn left Scorpio. Yay! I'm not Scorpio, but my daughter is. And also, we're in Capricorn. So, you know, can you elaborate about each one of those? And, like, what's...
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bonnie. We do have the moon in Scorpio today. So the moon is in the former sign that Saturn was going through for almost 2.5 years. And on Christmas Eve 2014, Saturn left Scorpio finally and went into a new sign, Sagittarius, and a fire sign and a sign that is having a lot of energy and Jupiterian-type power behind it, because Sagittarius is ruled by the planet Jupiter. Well, that has changed things a lot in many people's lives and in many people's situations, because Scorpio people particularly had it very rough from the ending part of 2012 till the very ending of 2014, because Saturn was going through Scorpio. Well, today the moon's in Scorpio, which is a very exciting and emotional transit, because the moon is a indicates the emotionality of the person. And Scorpio is a water sign, and it is a sign of emotions. But they no longer will have Saturn on their back, except, and people will often contact me saying, but, from mid-June 2015, to mid-September, Saturn retrogrades back into the very ending degrees, 29 and 28 of Scorpio. Now, people say, yes, that means it's back in Scorpio again, but I point this out. It has already broken the mold of that transit. Once it has entered the next sign that it is destined to go through, which it has done, Sagittarius, has broken the mold on its hold on the sign of Scorpio. And true, it's going to be retrograding back into the ending degrees, stop it and move forward and jaunt out of Scorpio, but that will be nothing for Scorpio people, like the transit of Saturn staying in Scorpio for almost 2.5 years. That has been broken. Will not occur again for 26 more years.
Well,
and
Ron,
27 more years.
Why do you think, you know, one of the things I'm confused about, and I guess maybe I could answer my own question, but I'm going to let you do it because I don't know if I'm right. But when it goes back and retrogrades back into that same planet, does that mean that there's something that they have to tie up again?
Well, it means that Scorpio people who haven't completely learned their lessons or haven't completely gotten through the hurdle they were supposed to get through have one more golden opportunity chance to learn those lessons and get through those hurdles. And it actually is almost exactly mid-June to mid-September, like June 18th, I think it enters it, and then it leaves around September 19th. I think it's almost exactly 3 months. So if there are Scorpios out there that still haven't had the full value of that long time of Saturn in Scorpio, they have one more chance. But others that have basically gotten through it, learned it, and are moving on in life, they will have very little influence of that last return harbinger of Saturn in Scorpio. And it will do this. And it will move into a sign, then it will retrograde back into the sign it had just left. Slow moving. And that's what it means. It means there's one more chance. But it isn't going to be the hard, crying, emotional tension and stress and all the other things we could add which Saturn in Scorpio actually meant for Scorpio people in the last almost 2.5 years. It won't be like that.
Well, good news is, Ron, it has. I don't think Scorpio is going to be hitting our planet for a very long time, I don't think. So
well,
as long as it doesn't hit Cancer.
The moon's in Scorpio today, which is very good for research, investigation, you detectives out there. Good time to read a mystery story. This is a very good time for going within and doing inward work, inward meditation. Very good time for that. I want to make one more comment, Bonnie, about something I said the other week, and I didn't know something was happening, and therefore I have to bring it up. I mentioned on this show that the Chinese New Year's occurs whenever we have the new moon, the sun and moon sitting together in Aquarius. So I told everyone, well, it should be January 20th this year because that's when we have the new moon in Aquarius. Well, that's the first day that the sun enters Aquarius. But we have a second new moon in Aquarius on February 18th. So both on January 20th and February 18th, the sun and moon will both be in Aquarius. It may not be the 20th, the Chinese New Year. It could be February 18th. But you, when you have that double case of sun and moon both in the same sign within that same, you know, month's time, I believe the Chinese New Year could be chosen to be either one of those. So if you first heard that show and you look it up and you say, no, it's on February 18th. What is he talking about, January 20th? Well, that's because there was a second sun and moon in Aquarius.
Well, I wonder if they could celebrate New Year's all the way through, like from the 18th to the 21st, having all those parades and fun and tea and all those dragons. I mean, maybe they could do that.
Well, it would be one of the very unique times to do this because we have two new moons in Aquarius this year. We have it the day that the sun enters Aquarius, the moon is there with it, and we have it the last day that the sun is in Aquarius, which is February 18th, and the moon is there with it. So
this is
an alpha and omega beginning and ending.
Wow. Yeah, that's really interesting. It is so interesting. And
we get one new moon for each sign each year.
Do you know what sign it is? Because whatever it's going into must be an amazing year if they have the Alpha and Omega starting. So I would think that, you know,
you mean the Chinese zodiac sign?
Yeah.
I don't remember, but I'm going to guess it's the year of the sheep. I'm guessing because we have been in the year of the horse. And we're now going into the year of the sheep. But I believe that. Now, I'm guessing. I may be wrong. But I don't know if it's a wood sheep, a metal sheep, a fire sheep, a watery sheep, or an airy sheep. I don't know if it's what the other element of it will be. So somebody will probably be listening, and they'll know this right away, and they could perhaps call in and leave the information.
Well, yeah, if anybody out there, all your chatters, I'm looking at chat, knows what year the new Chinese New Year is going to be in, if it's sheep. I think a sheep and a goat are the same thing because somebody said it was the year of the goat. And I think the sheep and year is actually the sheep and goat are the same. But if anybody knows what year we're going into with the Chinese New Year's, please post it so that I can read it. But you know what? Another thing. Go ahead, Ron, because I know you had several things you wanted to talk about.
Well,
but I
want to mention one thing, and we're going to be getting to this soon, but and this is directed to make people understand how powerful astrology is and how much it affects us every year and throughout our lives. There are many, many strongly focused religionist people who have no idea that it is an astrological axiom as to why Easter moves around its dates each year. People will be surprised that some year Easter is in late March, early April, sometimes even mid to late April. They're shocked. But they have no idea that it's based on an astrological patterning that creates when Easter will be. First of all, there are three things that have to occur to mark the date of Easter. We have to have the spring equinox, which is the day that the sun enters the sign of Aries. So we have to have the day the sun enters Aries, the spring equinox occur first. Then we have to have the first full moon. Again, here's an astrological pattern. After that equinox. So first the equinox has to occur, and then as days go by, the full moon has to occur. And
wow.
Then the first Sunday after that full moon will be Easter. So it's all based on astrological patternings. First we have to have the sun entering Aries in the spring equinox. Then we have to have the first full moon that will occur after that equinox. And then we have to have the first Sunday after that full moon as Easter. Now this year, the sun, let's go back to it. The sun will enter Aries in the spring equinox will occur on the 21st of March. And the first full moon after that equinox is April 4th. And the first Sunday after that full moon is April 5th, because that full moon occurs on a Saturday. And the first Sunday after that is the very next day. So you'll find everybody, when you look up in your calendars, Easter this year is April 5th. So I want everyone to remember this, because this is an astrological axiom that determines a very powerful religious holiday.
Well, and you know, all
by the holiday moves around.
Well, so you know, all the it seems like, and we don't do religion, but it seems like they all move around the same time, because you've got Passover, you've got the spring, you know, well, the 21st I think is the spring equinox, the spring solstice, but it seems to me like they all hit around the same time. So it's really interesting, and it would have to be astrologic, because what else would it be based on if you take all different types of, you know, beliefs? And they're all around the same time. So the only thing that doesn't change is actually astrology, you know, as far as pinpointing things. So I think that's really cool. And I love, you know, I'm learning so much from just hearing you, Ron. You know, I do pick up things, and I love astrology. You know, I'm trying to read that book, and I laugh, because if anybody is out there, the book is Astrology for Idiots, which Idiot's Guide to Astrology. Well, I'm not an idiot, but I'm telling you, it's hard. It's not an easy book. And the reason is astrology itself isn't easy. So I have to tell you that I admire you, Ron, for 40 years or whatever, and you teach. I mean, you know, what's really cool, everybody listening, is Ron teaches astrology, and he doesn't just teach beginning astrology. He is a master at it and teaches the different levels. So I only wish that, Ron, the next time you have a class, I keep waiting. Remember, I have to start at the beginning level. Even though I know my stuff, I just need to start at the beginning level. So hopefully, you know, one day that will start again for me. But Yeah, and the other thing I want to talk about real quick, because I've got to wrap it up. That is exactly 11 minutes, but I want to bring up Capricorn, because this is the month of Capricorn, correct?
Yes.
So
yes, we're in the month of sign of Capricorn, and we've been in that sign since about December 21st or 22nd.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, looks to me like it entered it on late in the day of the 21st.
So all you Capricorns out there, you're in the middle of your month, and you're wrapping your month up. But, you know, can you give us some of the qualities? Because I'm kind of wanting to do this with each month. I know we're going in Aquarius, but what are some of the signs? And I know you can't pinpoint anything, but give us the color of Capricorn, what it rules, and, you know, and if you can, a little bit of the details about Capricorn, because we're going to get out of Capricorn pretty soon.
Yeah, January 20th, that's when we get the new moon in Aquarius, and the sun will leave Capricorn. Well, it's probably argumentally the most hardest working sign of the zodiac. It is highly industrious. It is very good in organization. It's a very practical sign. It's very good in administrative power. It handles responsibility very well. It's very good in organizing things and layering responsibilities onto itself, sometimes very good at working more than one job, because it's a sign that is deeply directed towards needing an established sense of security. And work and money and productivity is equal to security for Capricorns. Most Capricorns had a very tough childhood. And many of them were very serious as children. Many of them were like little adults in small bodies. However, as they got older, they got funnier, they developed a sense of humor, they became more flexible in life, and this is the sign ruled by Saturn, Capricorn is Saturn's sign. And many Capricorns have to be careful of knee sensitivities, banging their knee pain, because knees are ruled by the sign of Capricorn. So also is the gallbladder and the bones and bone joints. The Capricorns have to be very cautious and careful of any kind of inflammations of the bone joints and issues involving that. Now, it's co or semi rules the skin. The skin is shared in rulership between Venus and its sign of Libra and Capricorn and its planet Saturn. The hair is also ruled by Capricorn. Now, what does all of this mean? It means Capricorn people are more vulnerable for inflammations in the bone joints, injuries to the bones, knee sensitivities or knee injuries. They're more sensitive to scalp inflammations or skin issues than other signs. But it doesn't mean that they have to get those. That's more the more directed end that this sign can have sensitivities. They're like their weakest link. But when it comes to security and business, they'll work as hard as any sign. They will show their love a lot to the one that they've married by working and producing for them.
I love that. You know what's so funny, Ron? And like I said, I've got to wrap this up. But and next week we'll be back to our regular show. But I have to tell you that my husband is a Capricorn moon, which I always tell you, and he's got skin and hair issues. I mean, not bad ones, because you know. But later in life, he developed I don't know what that is in your hair, and he uses a special shampoo. And you know, even his skin, he gets funny stuff on his skin, and he has he developed rosacea a little bit. So I wonder if it also has for Capricorn moons. Is it for Capricorn rising, moon, and sun that this is all for?
It can be for Capricorn rising, sure. Capricorn sun, and the moon is in its most uncomfortable placement in Capricorn. It's said to be in its detriment. So
yeah, so it must have all those things. Yeah, well,
that would be an uncomfortable sign for the moon to be in.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, and that's why when you were mentioning on all the things, and I think it's important for everybody to know. I'd love to continue, like, each sign that changes, like on the, you know, if we're doing a show to go through the sign, what it has, what just like what we did right now. It doesn't take long, but it's so interesting to people, and I love knowing each sign. So even though it has nothing to do with, you know, it's very general and it's not giving you a sun reading, it's telling you the characteristics of where you were born and what you were born as. And I love that, even though you've got to look at your rising and moon too, right?
Well, Capricorn is symbolized by a mountain goat that jumps and walks from peak to peak to reach the highest peak in the mountain chain. And it's symbolized by that goat on that peak, looking down, lording over all the lower peaks below it. What that means is Capricorns are powerfully upwardly mobile. They don't care how long they have to stay in a position. They will eventually get ahead, and they'll work at that level to get ahead. And finally, when they get ahead, they handle responsibility better than any other sign.
Well, I love that. For all you Capricorns, and like I said, I'm going to have to wrap it up, but for all you Capricorns, we love you because you work hard. You're tenacious. And if you love someone and you work hard, I love that. So the good news is I'm so ADD, it's a good thing I am not a Capricorn. Although I'm sure there are plenty of ADD Capricorns. But anyway, I am. My other sign, like Ron's, is we're Cancer. Our sixth sign is Capricorn. So I think that's pretty cool. And I told you about color. I love white and I love black. White is Cancer, and black happens to be the sixth sign from us, Capricorn.
Capricorn, yes, that is true. The colors black and gray are associated with Capricorn.
Yeah, I just love that. So anyway, I want to tell everybody, and Ron, I want to thank you. You know I adore these shows. I am hoping everybody listening gets a lot from it, because Ron is a teacher, and he loves telling us about the sky, and we'll be back next week. But I thank you again, Ron, for all that you do for the show and all you do for everybody. Again, if you would like a reading, which is a astrological chart reading, his email is livingastro@aol.com. And please get a hold of Ron, because these readings are very long, very in-depth, and you will love them. Again, I thank you, and I will see everybody tomorrow at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock is our Mom and Duo team, Brenda Brand and Annabelle Miller, and our Leslie Journey, who is so gracious to give up today at 2 o'clock, and Candy Potter, who will be there next week to give up her spot to move one angel down. So thank you, everyone, for helping me keep these shows on, even if we've had to make a few little changes this week. Again, Mercury isn't retrograde, Ron, but I'm having to make these changes this week. Let's hope it's not next week when I have all those guests. Oh, well, I think it's in 2 weeks anyway. But all right. Well, Ron, thank you. I love talking to you. And let's do this again over coffee and lunch next week, Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you. Have a great day, Ron, and thanks again.
And thank you, everyone.
Oh, thank you. I know, Ron, you're not feeling well, and that you come and give your time, and we just love you, and we thank you very much. I know that there's a lot of people that download and listen to you, and so I so appreciate all the time that you give. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Chatters. Thank you, all the listeners, and we will see you back tomorrow at 1. Thanks. Bye.